Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. EPG23 thanks Professor Ibaho and the ESPER mechanism for the focus on such a crucial dimension for advancing and fully implementing the right to development. We especially agree with Mr. Mohammadi and other speakers on the key role that a legally binding instrument on transnational cooperation and business and human rights would have in addressing business-related human rights violations that remain unpunished because of the gaps and inadequacy in national and international legal frameworks. We see as a matter of fact that voluntary approaches to business responsibility in protecting human rights are not enough. Transnational and globalized value chains need a UN-based global legal framework that is able to protect human rights of people and communities, citizens, workers, consumers, that are impacted along those value chains all over the world. Within this context, we also agree on the fundamental relevance of human rights due diligence and access to remedy for victims of abuses and violations that has been already underlined. We want to add another element to this discussion that can play a crucial role in the relation between business and the right to development: policy coherence for human rights and sustainable development. In operationalizing their duty to protect human rights, states are expected to pursue and ensure policy coherence, but this provision remains largely unattended. A greater and more transparent commitment should be devoted to align human rights obligations with business regulatory frameworks and state-led investments at domestic level, as well as with international trade and investment agreements at multilateral level. The efforts in filling these coherence gaps would result also in a more effective and balanced policy coherence for sustainable development framework, notably one of the key means of implementation of the 2030 Agenda. Finally, we want to remark that the impact of any business-related guidelines and regulatory measures, voluntary or mandatory, will be truly transformational only if driven by a wide and shared acknowledgement of the structural limits of the current development model and of the business practices that have proven to be unsustainable, as underlined by the Special Rapporteur, Mr. Suryadeva, and consequently of the need to overcome them by adopting alternative, more equitable and sustainable paradigms. Indeed, many actors throughout the world, especially among non-profit sector, community-based organizations, indigenous groups, social entrepreneurs and innovative enterprises, are already building this change by exploring and adopting economic and business models that recognize and respond to human rights and environmental challenges by putting people and planet before profits. An illegal framework and policy should protect those experiences and initiatives of peoples and communities that are concretely shaping for the bottom their own right to development by building a different economy. Finally, related to the intervention of the last speaker from the businesses, I can't remember, sorry, your name, I cannot see the I would like to make this observation. Throughout the years, in the era of globalization, businesses, transnational cooperation has used extraterritoriality all the time in shifting their companies, in making their chain production in other countries, in paying lower also many people, many workers, and so on. So why they shouldn't use extraterritoriality in respecting human rights and the right to development? Is a provocation because, I mean, extraterritoriality is common for all the action of business, and it should be also common for respecting human rights. Thank you.